Please turn with me to the book of John, the 8th chapter. Amen. Book of John, 8th chapter. 42nd verse. If you don't know where it is, Book of John is in the New Testament. I'm looking at the table of contents, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Go to that page number. Once you're there, go find the big number 8. That is the chapter and verse 42. The small number is 42. That is the verse. The Book of John, 8th chapter and the 42nd verse. In the interest of time, I will continue to move forward. You will find similar words printed in your text, but I will be reading from the Christian Standard Bible Version, and it reads as follows. It says, John 8, 42 reads as follows. It says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, because I came from God. And I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. The title of today's sermon is as follows: I am your father. I am your father. You may be seated. I am your father. In the Star Wars saga, perhaps one of the most iconic lines, not only in the Star Wars saga, but in all of movie history, comes when the protagonist, Luke Skywalker, is battling against the antagonist, Darth Vader. And Darth Vader has used his lightsaber and cut Luke's hand, and then Luke is on the bridge, and he's on that part, and Luke is talking about how Darth Vader has killed off his father. And that's when Darth Vader says the iconic line, no, I am your father. And that line right there is one of the greatest plot twists in history, because nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw that Darth Vader, the enemy, was actually Luke's father. Now, you may say, well, why is it such a big deal? The fact that he said he is his father. Why is that a big deal? Why is that a big deal? Because what the intention of that was so that you would see the connection that Luke has with evil. He was fighting against evil, and now he realizes he's related to evil. And so now that he's related to evil, this is where Darth Vader uses his line, come join me. You know, and he tells Luke, join him and they can rule the galaxy together. Now that Luke knows that he is of evil, now that he knows that he is his father. There's supposed to be a connection because they are related. And this movie is just an example, but when we think of the idea of fatherhood, you know, there's a lot of implications about being someone's father. There's a lot of meaning when someone says that this person is their Father. We have certain expectations, certain ideas of how a person is because so-and-so is their father. I'm sure most of you know me, and so in your head, you might have an idea of how Jason is going to be just because you know who I am. And I understand that we do have a mother in play, my lovely wife, Sister First Lady, Felicia Brooks. Amen. Amen. But today's not Mother's Day. Today's Father's Day. And so I want to make sure I'm not downplaying the mother's role in this. I'm just emphasizing the father's role. Fatherhood has deep implications. The question that we're going to be going through today is, who is your father? Who is your father? Now, some of you may say, I know who my father is, Pastor Brooks. Matter of fact, I know who your father is as well, Pastor Brooks. His name is Deacon Gary Brooks. He sits right over there. And yes, we could answer that from the natural perspective. Yes, Deacon Gary Brooks is my, you know, biological father. But when we talk about who is your father, you'll see that it gets a little more complicated. It gets a little more in depth than just whose genes do you have. Now, this is the topic. This is the question that Jesus is addressing in the book of John, chapter 8. Jesus is talking to the Jewish people, and in Jesus-like fashion, Jesus is talking on a whole nother level than the people that are listening. It seems like when Jesus speaks, he speaks on a truth and a level up here, and it seems like people are just still stuck down here. And this is one of those instances, but we're about to find out exactly why this is. The book of John, chapter 8, verses 37 through 40. Jesus says that, "I know you are descendants of Abraham." Okay, descendants of Abraham. Hold on to that. "I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no place among you." Verse 38, "I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. So then, you do what you have heard from your father." And this is where the Jews respond. It says, "Our father is Abraham," they replied. You know, they're related. You know, the blood, you know, you do the tracing of the genes, it goes back to Abraham. "Our father is Abraham," they replied. And this is how Jesus responds. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus told them, "you would do what Abraham did." Verse 40. "But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." So what is Jesus getting at here? Jesus is getting at one crucial fact that we've got to understand, is that fatherhood is deeper than blood. Fatherhood is deeper than blood. I am, you know, happy to say that, you know, and recognize my dad, not just because he is biologically my father, but because he was and is my dad. Y'all know there's a difference, right? You know, you can have a biological father, but your dad is the one that raises you. Keep moving. Fatherhood is deeper than blood. What Jesus is saying is that even though they were, even though they were Jewish, even though they had Abraham's blood running through them, that because they were not doing what Abraham would have done, Because they were not following the person that they claimed that was their father. Maybe, perhaps, Abraham isn't really the father. Another way that we can look at this is, if you are someone's child, you should act like you somebody's child. Let me say it like this. If God is your father, act like his child. God does not have kids that fundamentally are nothing like him. Yes, kids slip up. Yes, we do wrong, but in the end, there is some resemblance of us in God and some resemblance of God in us. And I know, you know, whether we talk about fathers, I know the mothers are involved in this too, but we know that when we go certain places, we carry a name on our back. You know, most of us have a first name and a last name. And that last name ought to mean something. As a Brooks, for me, I have to conduct and carry myself like a Brooks. I don't want to embarrass my mom and my dad. I don't want to embarrass the family where I'm at. I ought to conduct myself. If I'm a child, if I'm a Brooks kid. But even more so, if I am a child of God, I ought to act like a child of God. If God is your father, act like his child. Somebody said, Pastor, I get it. Keep moving. Verse 41. This is what Jesus says in response. You're doing what your father does. This is what Jesus said. Now I want y'all to listen to this. Watch how the Jews respond to Jesus. We weren't born of sexual immorality, they said. We have one father, God. Now, for some of us that might have missed that, you know, Jesus was born through the Virgin Mary, right? He didn't have an earthly father. He just had his heavenly father. But word on the street was that Mary wasn't as pure as we like to picture her. Word on the street is that Mary was messing around. Hello? And if we really do our research, you know, Mary was looking at around 12, 13 years old. To have that stigma your whole life? They didn't let Jesus forget. So they brought his mama into this. I don't know, but look, don't talk about my mama. I know this is Father's Day. Don't talk about my mama. Hello? Somebody in here like that, right? Somebody said, don't talk about your mama, right? I can't come up and talk all kind of crazy about your mama, right? Now, if I'm Jesus, this is why I love Jesus, because if I was Jesus, ooh, I'd have a thing or two. I'd have a thing or two to respond to them with. But look at how Jesus responds, verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Verse 43, why don't you understand what I say? And he answered the question, because, and listen, you cannot listen to my word. Oh boy. Now let me just take a sidetrack. Let me just take a detour. Because Jesus just taught us something without that really being the point of the passage, which is when you're in an argument and somebody want to attack you, when you get insulted, stay focused. Because y'all know how arguments go, is well, that's why you're so ugly anyway. Then the argument goes about that, what that statement was, and then it blooms and blooms and blooms, and then it's a big old fight. And in the end, did the issue get solved? No. Hello? Husband and wife going back and forth. This and that. Well, you know what? Why would you stop being so lazy? Woo! And he worked 50 hours a week? Woo! Or we just going to go blah, 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 blah. And guess what? The issue at hand, which was, you know, just picking up clothes, that goes out the way, and now it's a whole personal thing. Reason I'm saying that is because what Jesus does in this argument, what Jesus does in this situation, is instead of arguing personal attacks, Jesus stays focused. Why? Because Jesus knows something that we're learning today, which is when people attack your character, it's because they can't attack the point. When people have lost arguments and lost reasons of things to say, they start attacking you. You know why? Because they're about to lose the argument. So then they attack your character, and instead of seeing you win, now you all attacking blah, 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 blah. And in fact, when you had a great point and you could have just stayed focused and might have changed something, now you get dragged down to the mud. Y'all see that, right? Because Jesus could have gone a whole different way with this. But Jesus stuck to the issue because he knew the Jews had nothing on him. So when you get insulted, stay focused. Speaking of focus, let's get back to this passage. Jesus's point in doing this was to show that people are not understanding what he says because people cannot listen to his word. Jesus teaches us an important point here, which is something that might help you if you seem to get frustrated with telling people about Jesus. It might help you when you're trying to do good and to be good in front of people. It might help you if you're trying to lead others to salvation and trying to lead others to change their lives. Some people cannot understand Jesus. Some people cannot understand Jesus. If you look at what Jesus is saying, Jesus is not saying that they won't listen to his word. Y'all see that? I looked it up, and I tried to make sure that it's not just this version of the Bible. It's the original language. I tried to look it up. It's not that people won't listen. Jesus said that they can't listen. Some people cannot understand Jesus. Why am I saying this? Y'all realize that there is a difference between won't and can't, right? This might help somebody. Some of us get frustrated because fundamentally how we have worded the phrase in our the sentence in our head is that people won't change. But you will have a different attitude when you realize that people can't change. The way, if I'm sitting down like this, and you tell me to get up and come over there, like pronto, and I don't do it, it's because I won't do it. I can get up, right? But it's different if I have a broken leg and I can't hop over, and you tell me to come over, and then I don't. There's a different feeling towards that. Y'all see what I'm saying? So there's a difference between won't and can't. And the reason I'm saying this is because Jesus has realized something by this part of the argument that we're realizing right now, is that we have to stop expecting non-Christians to act like Christians. They can't. They cannot listen to Jesus' word. They're not able to. It's not that they're unwilling. It is that they're unable to listen to Jesus' word. You know, we as Christians, you know, this is Pride Month. We as Christians get so caught up. We tell people, you shouldn't be gay. Just stop being gay. The problem is that it's not necessarily that they won't listen, but that Satan has blinded them so that they can't listen. There's a difference. Now, am I saying accept it? Am I saying accept that they're gay and move on? No, that is absolutely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that your strategy of reaching them is different, because if they won't change, then you're just going to try to argue them over and over and over until they finally get it. But when you realize that they have been blinded by Satan, that they're unable to perceive the truth, and that no matter how much you talk or do all this, that they're not going to get it because they're unable to see the truth, you start realizing that your strategy of trying to talk them down is not going to work. You need a higher power. You need something bigger than you, and that something bigger is Jesus Christ. The only one who can open the eyes of the blind, the only one who can make the mute speak, the only one who can give life to the dead, he's the only one. And so we stop relying on our own power and own persuasion and own techniques to do this. Even Jesus, who actually could change everything if he wanted to, even Jesus did not expect non-Christians to act like Christians. He told them that you are unable, you cannot, you do not have the power to listen to my word. And look at this, verse 44. We're talking about who's your father, right? Verse 44. Why are they unable? Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. Woo. Woo.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You are of your father, the devil. Ooh, that's harsh in any language, anytime. You are of your father, the devil. This is what Jesus is telling the Jews, who claim to be God's chosen people, who claim to be the descendants of Abraham, who claim to have been already saved simply because they were born Jewish. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Okay? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature. Some versions say he speaks his native tongue, because he is a liar and the father of lies. Y'all see that? Jesus just said, that's your father. And he just said he's the father of lies. He basically just called you a lie. Ooh. Yet, verse 45, yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Do you realize that when you are far from God, even the truth will sound like a lie? But it's even worse than that. As if you are far from God, you are a child of the devil, whose father, who is the father of lies. You want to carry out your father's wishes. So if the devil wants to lie and deceive, you carry it out. Where am I going with this? Do you realize that if we love lies, then we will love liars? Y'all realize that? You know, we in a whole month right now where we're literally celebrating, parading, literally parading a lie. And when people like us come and say that Jesus loves you, he has a plan for you, and all that, they literally cannot hear that because they love the lie of love whoever you want to love, however you want to love, whenever you want to love. It doesn't need to be a man and a woman. It doesn't need to be after marriage. It doesn't have to involve any of that. They love the lie. So you'll notice that the people that tell those lies, that pander them, they love them. They love it. People love to hear things that agree with them. People love to hear that they're right. They love to hear that they're safe. And so when we bring the truth of the gospel, one of the worst things we can do is soften and sweeten up the gospel so that they feel loved and accepted because there's nothing that they're doing wrong, and God is just an option. And if you just love him, then it's okay. Like, just do that. When we bring the gospel down, we become another liar. And I say this because we have churches filling up with people who don't repent from their sin. Because people like me and some Sunday school teachers and Bible study teachers like y'all are making this good for them, making it sweet for them. In fact, what we're really doing is lying to them. If we love lies, then we will love liars. If we love telling lies, if we love them believing a lie, if we love hiding them from the truth that they need to change, what we're doing is the work of our father, the devil. Because the devil is a liar, and that is in his nature. That is what he does, and he reduces the gospel to nothing so that it has no power, so that when we tell it, it has no effect. But if we love the truth, we will love the things Jesus says, even when it hurts. Y'all, I don't know about y'all experience with this book, but when I read this, it hurts. There's some scriptures in here, honestly, I don't want in here. Because if I had my way, you know, talking about my flesh, if my flesh had my way, there's a couple of scriptures I'd be taking out of here so that I can live the life that I want to live. But the scripture, the truth hurts. But the truth, and he said this earlier, will set you free. So let me start to bring this to the close. Who is your father? Who is your father? What Jesus is saying is that ultimately, your father is the one you copy. That is your father. The one you copy. When you look at your life, and I mean take an honest assessment, I mean really, truly look at your life. Do you look like God? Or do you look more like Satan? Nobody is perfect. And let me be clear. I know we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God is working in some of us. And we can know if God is working in some of us. But some of us, let's be honest, we ain't trying to have God work in us. For some of us, we're still in our same sins. We're still in our same lifestyle. If somebody were to see us in church today, they would be shocked. Shocked that we're in here, hearing this message. The one you copy is your father. Now, it's easy to just leave this sermon here, but good, thank God that there is grace involved. Because we were all by nature children of wrath. We were all looking for the devil to be our father. But the question is, and especially if you are hearing this today, how do you change fathers? How do you change from the devil being your father to the Father, Almighty God being your father? How do you do that? I mean, in regular life, you know, you just have who you have, right? You know, your parents are who they are. You can't really do much to change it. How do you change, especially on a spiritual level, how do you change fathers? And my answer to you is, guess what? You can't unless you are adopted. The Father saw that we were children of wrath. The Father saw that we were headed on our path to hell. And he decided to send his son, Jesus Christ, onto this earth, born of the Virgin Mary, lived 33 years, and died on a Roman cross so that our sins would be paid for. Not only would our sins be paid for, he would die and then he would be buried, but on the third day, Jesus rose up from the grave. And God did all of this. The Father did all of this. Why? Because he was on a path to adoption. Romans 8, verses 14 through 16 says, "For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of," look, "adoption. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father." In Hebrew, Abba is kind of like saying, Dad. You know, y'all know there's a difference in a father and a dad, right? So not only would God be the father, God would be the dad. He wants to raise you. He wants to be there for you. He wants to help you. He wants to grow you. Abba, Father. Not some, you know, as people call him, the sky god or the man upstairs, but he is the one here who said he will never leave nor forsake you. This God. And in fact, not only did he do that through Jesus Christ, but as Jesus ascended a days later, the Spirit descended. And verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children." You can't do this yourself. You can't be good enough so that God has to accept you. You cannot be such a big tither or have come to church so many Sundays or have participated in so many ministries that God just has to let you in because of your of the work that you have done. God himself had to adopt you. And he sent his son to make that happen. When we are in Christ, we have the Spirit. The Bible says that the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus lives in us. So because we have the Spirit, for those of us who do have the Spirit of God, we are children of God the Father. So as I close, don't join the dark side. Don't join the dark side. You know, Luke Skywalker was offered a chance to be a ruler of the galaxy, a chance for all of that. And his biological father is saying, come join him. But Luke chose a different option. He said, he will not join the dark side. I don't know what your family history is. I don't know who raised you. But I am telling you, if you want to change, you can through Jesus Christ. Don't just give up and join the dark side. Don't just give up and say, well, my daddy's this, and my mama's that. Don't just give up and say, well, you know, these streets raised me, so that's what it is. Don't just give up when God has literally done the adoption process for you. So if I could end this with a question, my question to you is this. Is the I am your father? Is the I am your father? Who's saying I am your father to you today? Is it the devil? Or is it the I am? I am your father. Is the I am your father?